Blog Talk Radio. welcome to the Brothers Career Radio Show, all the way from wherever we are. I just tell you right quick, I'm Leon Gatewood, all the way from Waynesboro, North Carolina. We probably have Curtis Gatewood tonight, all the way from wherever he's from. Is that Burlington, North Carolina? Joseph Gatewood, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. We got Robert Gatewood, all the way from Maryland, somewhere in Maryland, North Carolina. Maryland. My bad.
Maryland, North Carolina.
Anyway. Whatever.
You drinking over there, boy.
Whatever.
Well,
so, how you brothers doing tonight, man? How y'all doing? Welcome to the Brothers for Real Show, Robert, Joseph, Curtis. How you guys doing, man?
Start with Olin. Start with Joseph.
How you doing tonight, Joseph? How you doing, Joseph?
Oh.
He's there.
Maybe.
I know he's there.
Leon,
with Joseph.
Call me.
I said, how are you doing tonight, Joseph?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. How are things in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Man, I'm doing great in Charlotte, North Carolina, but Charlotte, North Carolina is a mess.
Oh, boy. Welcome to the mess club. Man, you said
a mess. Everything up here is out of control. I don't think nobody is at the wheel. It's just a
mess everywhere now.
Well, let's move past Joseph right quick. We're gonna have to come back to him because his mess can't be worse than my mess. Robert, how you doing tonight, brother?
A mess.
Oh,
a messy time.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, guess what? I'm trying to decide, guys. You know, I've been trying to retire.
Yeah.
You know, trying to go into semi-retirement.
Yeah.
So the school where I'm teaching on it like once a month, all of a sudden they hit me up today. They want me to start teaching on a more regular basis.
Right.
Do I have to, y'all? I know, you're like, when you're young, you get hungry, somebody offer you money, you feel like you got to take it. But, man, I'm telling you, I'm flattered that they want me to come in and help start this new program at the college. But I don't want to.
Man, your mess worked in mine, man. Let's go back. Let's go to Curtis, man. Curtis, how you doing tonight, bro?
Sound like this guy has a good mess.
I don't know. Too many opportunities.
I don't think most folks worry about being offered too many opportunities simultaneously.
Yeah,
but, that's the problem you want. That's the problem you want.
Exactly. But here in Burlington again, we are a part of America. And as a part of America, there's always a high level of hypocrisy and institutional white supremacy, a lot of ignorance, black self-hatred, violence. But we have to look to the hills from which cometh our help. And therefore, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm looking to the hills, brother.
All right, man.
You got a mess going on down there.
Sound like you got a mess and you just kind of work with it.
Yeah. Amen. We just had to look to the Lord.
Yeah, look to the Lord.
I like that. Curtis is solution oriented. He came in.
I really like his point. Yeah, let's give can we give him an applause or something, man? Let's see if we got an applause.
Get that brother. brother giving us some inspiration here. Don't just complain about it. Do something about it. There you go.
God be the glory. God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
You're the man. Well, look, let me talk about my situation here. Anyway, I'll tell you this, guys. I spent about 2 hours today with WFA. Yeah, man. Spent about 2 hours today with WFAE NPR radio. Talking about the situation going on. The political dynamics in Anson County. The lady had no idea by the time she got down here when she contacted me that we would have two people claiming to be sheriff in Anson County at the time.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Before you move beyond that, isn't it supposed to be one sheriff?
Well, most people
in one
have.
County?
Per county. Let me ask you this. Per county?
Yes. One per kid.
Well, let me ask you this. If you have two sheriffs, does that mean you have more law enforcement, double the law enforcement going on? That means crime could be wiped out
It means you need more law enforcement in this case.
Uh-oh. Never mind. I'm going to move on from that. Go ahead.
Here's the deal, guys. A while back.
Yeah, take us through the process of what happened there.
Let's try to take you through the process as I know it. Now,
bring it down.
If I make
bring
a mistake, I'm sure somebody out there will correct me or call me and cuss me out about it. I'm ready to hear it. But anyway, because I'm really frustrated with the process here. Anyway, Sheriff Landry Reed passed away, unfortunately, and untimely and unexpectedly. We had a sheriff named Sheriff Landry Reed, great guy. He was very supportive of everything we did here, and he was a great guy. But it turns out
he's in Anson County, North Carolina.
Anson County, North Carolina. The sheriff of Anson County, North Carolina, like the sheriff of Richmond County, North Carolina, the sheriff of Hope County, North Carolina, and there's another one I can't think of right now, all passed away unexpectedly.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, man.
All these folks passed in the recently?
They passed within an 18-month period. Yes, sir. All these African-American sheriffs at that.
Yeah, I need to bring in the FBI or the FBI or somebody. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you're right. But that's a whole new show right there. But the show we're into now is we have to, because Sheriff Reed was a Democrat.
Right.
It was up to the Democratic Party to appoint a replacement for him.
Okay, sounds fair enough.
That sounds fair enough. However, that replacement for him fell right along the same time as the election came along. You know, the election year was November. The general election was November the 8th, something like that. Anyway, long story, I'm trying to make this long story short. What happened was when they elected a good brother named Mr. Gerald Kelly, a nice, in my opinion, everybody, a good qualified man named Mr. Gerald Cannon. They appointed Mr. Gerald Cannon. However, the process by which they appointed Mr. Gerald Cannon was a little chaotic. And because of that, well, let me go back. After Mr. Reed passed away, the county commissioners appointed a young man who's a fine man as well, in my opinion. That's my opinion. His name was Scott Howell. Scott Howell, the county commissioners appointed Scott Howell to fulfill the term of Sheriff Reed. Okay?
So he was an interim.
And he did. He fulfilled the term. But after the term was completed, let's just move the story forward. Then it was time for the Democratic Party to appoint a person to replace Sheriff Reed because he died while his name was on the ballot to be elected. So the citizens of Anson County voted to elect Sheriff Reed, and he was dead. I don't know a better way to say it. And since he was passed away or dead, the Anson County Democratic Party was commissioned to find someone or nominate someone to fulfill the next 4-year term for the deceased Sheriff Reed. Are we clear so far?
Yeah, just keep moving. Keep moving.
Okay. Now I go back to the part where the process to which they appointed the replacement or came up where the Democratic Party came up with a nominee was flawed. And I say it was flawed because it was evidenced by, it was challenged by Mr. Scott Howell, who also wanted to be sheriff, he hired a lawyer and found that the case was that it was actually flawed, and the North Carolina Democratic Party agreed that it was flawed, and it was considered illegal or invalid. So the Democratic Party had to go back to the drawing board, reorganize, and then do the process over. They did the process over, let's move forward, this past Saturday. They did the process over this past Saturday, and then indeed did reappoint with the same nominee, came up with the same nominee, Mr. Gerald Cannon. Okay? We still together.
Okay.
That said, on Monday evening, there was a specially called meeting, or what they called an emergency meeting, for the county commissioners to come together and vote to nominate, accept the nomination of the Democratic Party of Mr. Gerald Cannon. That was one meeting. They closed that meeting, and then Mr. Gerald Cannon was installed as sheriff of Anson County.
Okay.
Okay, he's still there. I'm trying to get through this and keep it right. So bear with me. Now that was a special call meeting. Now the regular call meeting. Now this meeting that was held on Monday was with commissioners who were two of which were outgoing commissioners. Are we together?
Yeah.
Because on the following day, those commissioners were going to help install new commissioners to fill their seats. So in other words, it gets crazy now. It's getting ready to get crazy now. So on Tuesday, which was last night, these new commissioners came in, totally ignored. Well, let me see, somewhere along the way, I think the county attorney had said that the meeting that was held on Monday night was invalid. So these new commissioners came in and said, well, we're going to ignore the wishes of the Democratic Party and install or approve or nominate or accept Mr. Scott Howell as the sheriff. Well, we'll go ahead and tell you, Mr. Cannon is a black guy, Mr. Howell is a white guy.
What's the makeup of the new county commission?
We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But because right now it's irrelevant. Anyway. But where did I get? Where was I? Anyway, so they voted to take Mr. Howell as the new sheriff instead of Mr. Cannon. Now, remind you, Mr. Cannon got installed on Monday night. In this special call meeting, which has been deemed invalid by the county attorney. However, in Mr. Cannon's mind, he's the sheriff. He's been installed. He's been accepted by a board of commissioners, a quorum of commissioners, and he's been installed, properly installed. Now, on Tuesday night, here comes the new commissioners. They go in closed session. I have no idea what they did back in closed session because that's not my business. That's why they go in closed session, because they don't want you to know what they're doing back there. But when they came back out, Commissioner Lawrence Gatewood said, I nominate Scott Howell as the sheriff of Anson County for the next 4 years, effective immediately.
Who did it?
Mr. Lawrence Gatewood, Commissioner Lawrence Gatewood. It was seconded by some other guy, and it was approved by a 4-3 vote. That, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is why Anderson County has two sheriffs.
So, okay, so when were the new county commissioners installed?
New county commissioner was installed last night at the county at the regular meeting of the county commissioners.
So when the previous board of county commissioners installed. What's his name? Cannon?
Mr. Cannon, yes, sir.
So those commissioners had not been installed?
They had not been installed. That's correct.
Well, that's a simple case. That and the Cannon is the sheriff.
Okay. Let's say that, okay? It's a simple case if the especially called meeting was a legitimate meeting. If it met all the criteria for being a legitimate meeting, that is correct. You are exactly right, Mr. Gatewood. However,
are you saying the meeting was not legitimate?
Challenged.
Well, according to Leon, he said the county attorney said the meeting was not legitimate.
But the second meeting was, though.
The second meeting was legitimate.
The second meeting was legitimate, and the second legitimate.
The second meeting is the one that appointed the white sheriff, if I'm correct.
You're correct.
So when I said what's the makeup, what was the makeup of the new committee? Were they Republicans or Democrats? The new kind of commission.
Here's the makeup. I'll call the names of the new group. You have Mr. Jarvis Whitburn. You have Mr. Robert Mims, you have Ms. Priscilla Little, and you have Mr. Lawrence Gatewood and Mr. Harold C. Smith. All of those are black.
Mm-hmm.
Now, excuse me for not knowing the name of both of the white guys. One is named Mr. Bricken, and I can't remember the other guy.
But what I'm saying, what Democrats, Republicans, do you know that?
Sir?
I don't think they
do
have.
You know what the political parties.
The political parties, my understanding, is 5 Democrats and 2 Republicans.
Were the vote along party lines?
The vote was not along party lines, no, sir.
Okay.
Nor was it along black and white lines.
You saying it wasn't along black and white lines?
No, sir.
Well,
so what's the problem here?
Well,
Here's the problem here is Mr. Cannon was inducted by or nominated by a group of commissioners, and Mr. Scott Howell was nominated by a group of commissioners.
Now, the new commissioners, so were they on? Were they the same commission board that?
No, sir.
So you had some new commissioners to come in.
Two outgoing commissioners voted at the first meeting.
But they still had their duties all the way up until the time that their commission expired. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes, sir.
So to me, that's pretty much closed case, because that's how the case of Marbury and Madison came into play. It was a situation similar to that. I don't remember all the details of it, but the bottom line is, as long as those guys, I don't care if it was a minute before their commissions expired, they still had the authority to execute their duties all the way up until that time. And so the new installed commissioners did not have any authority to come in and undo what a duly elected county commissioner had already done. That's simple.
So
that is simple.
I think the argument is, was the meeting that they had prior to the new commissioner coming in was it a lawful meeting?
Well, I think that had already been settled because they had one meeting that was deemed unlawful, and the city attorney deemed it unlawful, and so they had a second meeting, and that meeting was deemed lawful. Is that correct, Leon?
That is not correct. The correct is, what the fact is, the meeting that they had to install or elect Mr. Cannon was considered unlawful by by the county attorney, but that is the subject of the lawsuit that has been filed by Mr. Cannon.
Right, that's the debate right there.
So why was the meeting not lawful?
That's
what the lawyers gonna have to figure out. I can't speculate. I refuse to speculate on that. But that is what the lawyers are gonna try to figure out.
Well, tell them that you got two chefs. Just tell them to go out there in the middle of town and draw. That's the sell of that. Tonight.
I say go out here and solve some crimes.
Look, touche.
Go out there. We should be out of. We should have no more crime by sundown tomorrow.
Leon.
Uh-oh, did we lose Leon? Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, Leon over there talking to somebody offline in the green room. Yeah, I was. Called me an optimist. I'm looking for the silver lining in this obvious cloud. But these guys, you ever watch this show Kings and Queens with I don't know if y'all watched it up there, where these two guys had to be the boss got sick. He was an alcoholic or something. He had to go in an AA program. So he appointed this black guy and this white guy to run. It's like a UPS job. So they somehow they both had ended up getting the position at the same time. I mean, it was a very funny show, but it just kind of reminds me of that. What these guys really had to do eventually is figure out how to work together. And I mean, I know it's not a sitcom that we're talking about, but somebody has to enforce the law while this thing is going to court. You know what I mean?
Here's the catch. Mr. Howell's in the office and refusing to leave, so he's acting as sheriff. He was already in there because he was the interim, right?
So he got the keys to the jail.
He got the keys to the office.
the plot thickens.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon, so I did everything I could to try to follow you, and here's something that I thought I heard you say. Have to clarify if you didn't.
Okay.
It sounds as if you said the black person was in fact appointed by the Democratic Party. Is that correct? And it's the same person that was also elected by the outgoing county commissioner, correct?
That's correct.
So the person that was appointed by the Democratic Party and also voted upon by the outgoing county commissioners is in fact the black candidate.
That is correct.
So it sounds to me like the black candidate, I don't know who his attorney is, but he should go to work quickly to make those points to show that this particular sheriff was given the actual blessings of two entities. And even though the other county commissioners, you can argue about the law or whether they had a meeting, the intent of the meeting was to affirm the fact that they had a sheriff. And I just don't understand how the new commissioners can undo all of that and suggest now that the commissioners that voted to elect the black sheriff was not legit. So that is a big thing that I think the burden, from what I'm hearing, is on the new commissioner to prove that, number one, that their vote is legitimate. Number two is that they can override the vote of county commissioners who gathered, regardless of who might say the meeting was lawful. I just that they're going to have to prove that. I think that should be more in need of proof than anything. And until it is proven,
the outgoing commissioners that voted for this guy, the commissioners had been elected, the outgoing commissioners had a vested right to continue their duties all the way up until the time that their terms expired.
So
they had a vested right.
So the Democratic Party voted and the outgoing commissioners voted for the black sheriff. So the black sheriff, as far as I'm concerned, he has received validation on both entities of power prior to this new jack, whatever came in there, and tried to complicate the matter because they are cowards.
So Leon.
Yes, sir.
Now, you said Lawrence Gatewood, he's the one that made the motion to appoint this other guy to sheriff?
Yes, sir. And, brother, here's what we're going to do, Joseph. Hold that thought. We're going to take a break right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother for Real radio show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We have people holding to come in on the conversation. We're going to be back after this short break. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Joseph Gatewood, we're going to get right back to your question when we get back, man, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother for Real radio show. Thank you for being on the show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. I'm Leon Gatewood, your host with the Brothers for Real. We got Robert, Joseph, and Curtis joining me, and we are trying our best
Leon.
To keep. Yes, sir.
Leon.
Yeah, man.
I want to put out a state. I want to put out a statement that on this show, what we're trying to do is put the facts out here. Now, if anybody in the listening audience has any information to counter anything that has been said, this is an open mic. This is the brothers dissecting this with the information that we have at our disposal. I'm really learning as Leon speaks. And so to the listening audience, if you have any information to add, subtract, add to, we are open. It's an open discussion. We'd like to hear your point of view.
And we want to hear your facts as well as your opinions. Is that good? All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have Mr. Carl on the line. Carla, how you doing, Mr. Gadd? Is that you, Alex?
Doing fine this evening.
All right, brother. How you doing tonight, man? Good. I'm glad to hear you're doing fine. We are, as you can tell, I hope. What's on your mind tonight, Alex? What you got to say about these two girls?
This chaos that you mentioned and been discussing earlier regarding the outgoing commissioners versus the new incoming board of commissioners. What's foggy to me is I don't know if the bylaws of the commission have the authority to overturn the previous decisions. If the bylaws say they can do it, I guess, then that's maybe one of the reasons why they did it, why they overturned the previous commissioner's decision to approve the nominee. On the other hand, this is democracy. The only way, in my opinion, that this whole episode can be cleared up is through the state intervention, whether it be the governor, whether it be the state board of election. I don't know what entity has the power to do it, but the democracy, the only way this democracy is going to work is through the will of the people.
Right.
Therefore, I think there needs to be a special election. Let Mr. Scott Howell continue as interim sheriff until that happens. Special election, put both candidates on the ballot, and let the people vote.
And why would Mr. Scott Howell be the one to continue, rather than the one that was elected or appointed by the Democratic Party and the outgoing commissioners?
Say again, Curtis.
So why would you suggest that the Scott Howell sheriff continue serving rather than the one who was appointed by the Democratic Party and the outgoing commissioners?
Well, that he's already in there. He's already the interim sheriff. That could reduce the friction. Just have the election. It doesn't matter who the interim is. We want the sheriff. We want there to be a legitimate sheriff. So that's only a short-lived period. We hope.
I want to also mention the bylaws that you mentioned, Alex, which is a good point. I think in studying the bylaws, there also need to be a need to determine whether or not the bylaws state or confirm that the meeting that was held prior to the new commissioners coming in was not held properly or was out of order. Because if the bylaws can confirm that the meeting that was held prior to the new commissioners being elected, then it's not a question about the outgoing commissioners having authority until their term ended. So I think if that can be confirmed, that the bylaws can suggest that the outgoing commissioners' meeting was proper, then I think all this can be settled.
You know, Curtis.
Yeah, let me stay on Mr. Gaddy's point for a second. Now, what he's saying is that ultimately he wants the will of the people to be recognized and honored, and that even though Mr. Howell is holding the keys to the chamber right now, that's just a temporary position. And is it worth the possible upheaval to go in and try to have him forcibly removed? Or should we just, people bide their time and say this is only temporary, until we can resolve this officially by a second election. Is that the way, is that correct, Mr. Gaddy?
Yeah, I think that's, I think to resolve it that way, because if we continue down the road that we're continuing going meeting after meeting, confirming, not confirming, I don't think the Board of Commissioners, I think there's some corruption in there somewhere between the county attorney and the Board of Commissioners. And in order to, alleviate those innuendos, that we should just have a special election. I don't know if, I don't know how we could do it. It's not my expertise, but I know where there's a will, there's a way. But I do know there needs to be some outside intervention. There needs to be some state intervention to help resolve this problem.
I think it's going to come to a complaint that with the federal Justice Department and having them to intervene, the Justice Department of the United States of America. So go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be some type of outside arbitration, because it seems like this is not going to be resolved internally.
Yeah.
Because there's too many competing interests. And I think it's going to take an outside party to solve this.
It is my opinion that it will never end.
Well, Leon.
Yes, sir.
Leon.
Yes, sir.
So why did the incoming Board of Commissioners even bring that up?
I can only speculate, Joseph, and I'm trying to avoid speculation at this point, but I will give it a shot. It is my opinion that the incoming commissioners preferred Mr. Scott Howell.
And that included Lawrence Gatewood.
Most definitely included Lawrence Gatewood. But I'm just saying, along with obviously four others. Three
Leon,
others.
Right. Why? So, what would be the reason that we would have this consensus of these people with varying backgrounds and parties and races that supporting Scott? What is it that they know that the rest of the world doesn't know?
Now, that is some speculation I flat out refuse to.
Okay. You're not going to touch that one, huh?
I'm not going to touch that.
I mean, that's a smart answer, Leon. I give you.
And I agree. I think that's the right response. But it does raise the – it makes you curious that – It breaks down beyond some of what the traditional myopia that may happen in a political situation like this, where people kind of stick with their party.
But I will say this, it's probably a little deeper than you think.
I'm sure it is.
Somebody just on the outside looking in is probably a little more than you think.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But the truth of the matter is, This issue that we're talking about, it has been decided in the higher courts time and time again. That's why when, you know, a lot of people were you know, up in the air about Donald Trump appointing this woman at the last minute after he had lost the election, and they complained about it, but they knew that there was nothing legally wrong with what he did.
But Joseph, President Obama, nominated Merrick Garland under the same auspices, and he was denied by the Senate.
So therein lies, Robert, one of the answers to your question, or maybe.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, but he could legally, but the Senate still have the authority to deny the nomination because they still had their commission. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Brother, I think the difference here is we know that Donald Trump and the President Obama had the legal authority. What we don't know is, was there a illegal meeting held based upon the bylaws of the county commissioners,
right,
whereby the outgoing members met unconstitutionally to confirm the vote of the sitting chair. So
I thought Leon said from the onset that there were two meetings. The first meeting was determined to be unconstitutional, and the second meeting was constitutional.
The second meeting that included the new commissioners was constitutional.
Right. And the new commissioners are the one that put the white guy in. I hate to bring race into this, but the fact of the matter is the black person who was there was validated by the outgoing county commissioners and the Democratic Party. The new person had the vote of the incoming new commissioners who favored him for whatever reason. But my point would be, regardless of whether the majority liked this man personally or not, I keep getting the name. It's a black county commissioner. It's a black sheriff. If he had been
Cannon and Scott, right?
Appointed
right.
And by both entities prior to the new commissioner, regardless of whether the new commissioner liked him or not, is irrelevant. And whether race plays a role is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, was it just for the new commission to come in and undo everything that had been done by the Democratic Party and the outgoing county commissioners?
And that therein
lies
the lawsuit.
Leon.
Yes,
Leon.
Sir.
Yes,
sir.
Being selected or elected by the Democratic Party, is that a, for lack of a better term, is that a constitutional process that happens in these particular cases, or is this a unique situation?
No.
No.
Let me let you know. The reason he was selected by the Democratic Party because he was a Democrat. Had he been a Republican, the Republican Party would have selected the new or submitted the new nominee for sheriff.
Is that the way it has always been? Is that
the way it works all around the country? Just like, for example, if you're in, in North Carolina, if say a senator dies, even though that senator might have been a Republican, but because we got a Democratic governor, the governor can appoint another Democrat, or he can appoint another Republican.
The party that's in power gets to choose the person irregardless of whether the person they choose is a Republican or Democrat.
Let me clear this up. In this case, I don't know about what has to do with the party in power. It's because the sheriff was a Democrat. The Democratic Party had the privilege, if you will, of reappointing another Democrat.
Right. Yeah.
Is that established as law? Okay.
That's pretty much law, yes, sir.
That's our everywhere.
Okay.
I can say that with a surety, yes, sir.
Okay.
This is what I think, too, Leon, and I'll be finished. I think what should have happened once the Democratic Party made their appointment, I think the new sheriff should have been elected. You know, not by county commissioners or anybody else. I think the new sheriff should have been elected by the people.
Well, here's the problem with that. He died of a bad, I don't know how else to say it. He died right at the end of the period the ballots were already made up. That makes sense. His name was already on the state ballot as.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is that there needed to be a special election, and again, democracy at work, even though he died in that process.
I agree. I'm going to tell you,
special election, that would have allowed people to vote on the next sheriff, and y'all wouldn't have this problem because the Democratic Party was voting.
Let me interject. You know, hold up, everybody.
Let me say this, John.
We're not going to solve this issue. So let's just table this and cuss Deion Sanders out for a while.
Hey,
what?
Let me do this. Go to Colorado.
Wait, let me say this right quick.
I think he intervened at a time without making a point that had not been made that people might need to take away and add the democracy side of this, which means the Democratic Party did their job in appointing a person, and that was the person who now is sitting in the office saying he's not going to give it up. I was saying that there should have been a period in which once that term expired, regardless of what the ballot had on it after during the time the man died, a special election should have been held to elect a sheriff of Anthony County, one sheriff by the people.
I'll get ready to say, Curtis, you, Alex, and a whole lot of other people agree exactly with exactly what you're saying, and they may end up having to do.
The new commissioners don't have the power. The new commissioners shouldn't have the power to appoint a sheriff at this stage when the people, again, I can understand them, the Democratic Party having to come in when the man died during his term and appointing somebody because the man is dead. I get that. But
hey, Joe,
that has finished, then it's up to the people.
Joseph, I'm going to extend the show for a few minutes so we can cuss Deion Sanders out. Let me give my opinion first.
Okay.
It is my opinion. This is my opinion only. And I'm in which I am entitled to. And that's a problem in this world today. People don't think you're entitled to your own opinions anymore. This is my opinion that I'm entitled to. It insulted me personally when the Board of Commissioners did not honor all of the time we put into selecting this new nominee from the Democratic
mm-hmm.
Party. Went through two or three meetings, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they come before these new commissioners and they decide they're going to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Right. I was insulted.
Yeah. That's a problem.
I was deeply insulted, to be honest with you. That these guys are just going to say, well, we're going to pick somebody else.
Yeah, that's not right.
No, it ain't right.
But is it going to come down, though, to who has did they have the authority to do it? That's the question.
They had the authority to do it, but I have the right to say it insulted me.
The new county commissioners
were out of order. The new county commissioners were out of order.
I'm not going to say they were out of order if they had the right to do what they did. But I'm just
they didn't
say,
have the right to do what they did. Just like they, for example.
It was
their fault. Let me say this. Okay, even
you're
though
have
Donald,
to know the
Trump,
laws.
Donald Trump nominated this woman for the Supreme Court in the 11th hour. She was confirmed by the Senate in the 11th hour. After January the 21st, we had a new set of senators to come in, and they were controlled by the Democrats. The Democrats could not constitutionally remove that Supreme Court justice from office after she had been duly appointed by the outgoing Senate. They couldn't do it.
The Supreme Court is a lifetime appointment. That's lifetime.
That's right.
Once you become a Supreme Court justice, that's life. That's a lifetime situation. But
now,
I'm
saying, even though
thing.
They were done at the ninth hour, they did it at the 11th hour. And a lot of people
right.
have a problem with that. But it was legal.
Let's do a little bit of preventative maintenance here. As I understand it, the deciding votes came from what I consider the commissioners that represent my constituency and my interests. Moving forward in the future, if we don't start vetting these candidates and debating these candidates before we start electing them, we're going to have the same dilemma again for whatever reason it may be, for whatever office it may be. But we
don't have nothing to do with the qualification of the candidate.
Well, we need to vet them. Vetted or not, and they should be vetted, the question is going to become, did the county commissioners, the new county commissioners, have the right to appoint a sheriff rather than allowing the people to have a special election and vote for the new sheriff?
Right.
We had that same situation in Charlotte several years ago.
No doubt they did have that right. They had that right.
Yeah, but we would have had those two votes that I was dependent on. We wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Those two
votes.
Lawrence and the other one.
Well, Lawrence was the one who nominated, who made the motion to make
and he voted. And the other one voted. And if they would have voted, the other way, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. Mr. Cannon would be, they couldn't have stopped the process.
I'm trying to figure out
what Lawrence Gatewood knows.
Both of y'all named Gatewood.
Well, Curtis made a very good point. It's like, regardless of whether we agree with what Lawrence or whoever voted for, or they within their right to make that vote, and would it be upheld by law?
That's right. And that's the point. We have to put our feelings
and preferences aside and look at what is the law. What does the law?
What's the law? That's the deal. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's the law. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brother for Real Radio Show, 215-383-3872. We're going to extend the show for about 5 to 10 minutes so that we can talk about the primetime Deion Sanders, the man who said he was coming to save HBCUs. Oh, George Jordan, we got a big game coming up on December 17th, boy.
Tell y'all something. Let me just say this. Well, you notice now Deion Sanders came down there at Jackson State, pretending like he was going to be the Moses, and he was going to lead Jackson State and all HBCUs to the promised land.
I was a little bit
suspicious of him all the time, but I was behind him 100%, hoping that he would do what he said he was going to do.
Has he done it?
No.
Okay.
He started it, but he quit. He sold out. He started it, but he quit, and he sold out.
Okay.
And of course, now, I don't have no problem with Deion Sanders leaving the SWAC or leaving Jackson State, going to Colorado. I don't have a problem with that at all, him doing that. But the way he did it was what's so disgusting. And the way he came into HBCU football, promising that he's going to do this and promising he's going to do that, talking about he's not going to have HBCU playing these Power 5 schools anymore. And of course, in these Power 5 schools, is the only way HBCU were making any money anyway. Talking about because they get beat up and broke up. So how you gonna make a case that you can play in the NFL if you're an HBCU and you can't go play against a Duke or you can't go play against a LSU or a UCLA? How you gonna make the case that you can play in the NFL and you got certain teams out here? Well, if we play them, we might get hurt. Just like, for example, North Carolina Central is gonna play UCLA in September. And that game gonna pay off $790,000. Now we can play every HBCU in our conference, and we ain't gonna make $790,000. And as far as I'm concerned, them boys out there in UCLA is made out of the same muscle and blood that the boys at North Carolina Central made out of.
Joseph, are you gonna have to listen to me, Joseph? But are you gonna have to pay your whole $790,000 to repair your men?
No, but here's the point, Leon. You missed what I just said.
No, I didn't.
What I just said is this. How you going to make the case that your boys can play in the NFL if they can't play against another college school?
I got you.
How you going to make that case?
You can't.
You can't make that case. You can get your boys broke up playing South Carolina State, playing Livingstone, playing in the school out here, you can get your boys broke. All of them made out of the same muscles, bone, and blood. All of them. But
I have
these,
a question.
These came, These are the kind of games Deion Sanders said he wasn't going to play in no more. He said he wasn't going to play in no classics anymore. Look at the Bayou Classic. The Bayou Classic brings in, you have 70,000 people at that classic every year. You got a classic between Alabama A&M and Alabama State. 70,000 people attend that classic. He played in a classic. They played in a classic with Tennessee State. And that classic has been going on for decades. And he said he wasn't going to play in that classic anymore. And that classic brings in money. So he cutting out all the money revenues coming in HBCUs, and then he's going to leave because of money. But he came in here talking all this trash about what HBCUs was, and what he was saying, a lot of it was true, but he was the wrong person to be saying it. And the first time somebody dangled some money in front of him, he was gone. But my point is this. Only thing he used Jackson State for was a stepping stone to get to where he wanted to be. He needed Jackson State to pad his resume. And if the people of Colorado would look at his resume closely, he didn't even have a good resume. In the 22 season, he did not play but two schools outside of his conference. Played Campbell and played Tennessee State. And Tennessee State is in the Ohio Valley, and Campbell is in the Big South. And the only reason they played Tennessee State because that was a game that they've been playing every year for decades, and it's a classic. But the bottom line is this. Deion Sanders came in here, built up the hopes of all these young men, telling them what they're going to do, build up the hopes of all these HBCUs, build up the hopes of the SWAC, and the only thing he was doing was looking out for himself.
But, Joe, you think all that's going to go away because he's gone?
Of course it'll go away because he's gone.
Because
the SWAC was already they had the highest attendance of any FCS conference in the country before Deion got there. SWAC already had a lot of relationships. Now Jackson State might not have had.
Why wouldn't they continue now that he's gone? If they had those relationships, why wouldn't they continue now?
That's what I'm saying. They're going to continue. So the point I'm making is all this hoopla about what Deion Sanders has done is on the thing what he said is done. He ain't really done nothing.
He's been recruiting these players,
and now he's talking about taking the players with him to Colorado. Huh?
How about the television? How about the HBCUs being televised more?
The HBCUs already
being
televised.
ESPN.
They're already being televised before
more. I'm
before,
saying more.
Before Deion Sanders got there, they was already being televised.
But more televised now.
Every year. That SWAC championship game has been televised every year. And all these HBCUs, they were being televised on ESPN. 3 and ESPNU before he even heard tell of Deion Sanders.
But
it was already out there.
You can't get in it.
I've been watching NCCU basketball on television ever since.
Trying to get in.
What do you say?
All right, get in there right quick.
I was going to say, Joseph, if you're saying that the SWAC had all of these benefits and the attendance and the relationships before he came, then there's no reason to believe that they wouldn't continue after he's gone. So what is the harm that has been done by Deion?
The harm that's been done by Deion, he came in here, built up all these young men hope that he's gonna path a road for them to go to higher and greater things. What I'm saying is, They were already doing well as a conference. I mean, keep in mind, Jackson State don't have a 3,500 students, so you ain't talking about a real big university. And like I said, in Jackson State, they were already overperforming when it comes to attendance.
But why won't these young men do well in Deion's absence if everything you said is true?
When another
they
coach
still
comes
have the
in.
Attendance. Yeah, why didn't somebody else come in and pick up where Deion left off?
No, but here's the thing. But see, the thing about it is, Deion used his celebrity and his star power to bring a lot of these young men in there.
And they're still there. Let them excel.
These boys have already started leaving.
When they boo him and don't thank him and not seem to be appreciated for what he did do,
He ain't done nothing. He opened up a door for him to leave Jackson State, a different type of approach to the HBCU athletes, and now when the next Hall of Famer will consider
going into coaching the HBCU, they gonna think long and hard before they go in and take his place. Could be Shannon Sharpe, I wish they would all stay where they are.
If they just come to these HBCUs to pad their resume. And that's what
they don't need that resume padded. That's the problem. They don't need a padded. They already
yes,
done
they
everything.
Do. Yes,
well.
They do. Alex, let me tell you something, Alex. I don't care how much football you played. If you hadn't had a head coaching job somewhere, if it ain't been nowhere but Pop Warner, you need some head coaching experience. You're gonna have to have some head coaching experience to get the top dollar. You ain't gonna go in there with no, just say, man. I played football. There are a lot of people can play football but can't coach.
Well, that's yet to be seen.
Well,
Pop Warner, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna have to leave on that. Joe said he doesn't give his Pop Warner. Ladies and gentlemen, let me listen to the Brothers Career Radio Show.
What a show.
Y'all crazy, boy. Y'all crazy.
I don't have no problem with Deion Sanders leaving, but I don't like the way that he came in, and I don't like the way he left. He had the right to come in, and he had the right to leave, but I don't like the way he did.
Yeah, I'm going to say one thing. He left him in a better shape than it was when he got there.
All right, I'm not even sure about that.
Leon, you've been on the ground in Jackson, Mississippi. What did the people down there in Jackson, Mississippi tell you?
Well, I talked to two or three, said we were already doing all right. That's what they said.
Thank you.
But listen,
everybody forgot about the fact. That's where Walter Payton came from. So
that was not a good
Jackson State was on the map.
I'll admit that was not a good sampling of the group.
It's not a scientific sample. Yeah, there's a whole lot of margin for error in that group, but still, you were on the ground.
I was on the ground.
I was on the ground too.
Mr. Gator was out there.
But the only thing I can tell you is this:
I just hope we. I mean, really, and this is what I posted on Facebook. I said, I want North Carolina Central to beat Jackson State. You know I do.
Somebody was saying that those boys,
those young men, might be so deflated that they don't play up to their performance. I said win, lose, or draw, I hope those boys' morale has not been deflated by the actions of Deion Sanders. Win, lose, or draw. I hope Deion Sanders has not damaged those young men, because
them
all
guys
these young black
guys
men,
one step
they have, had, they have had enough people in their lives to come in like they're going to support them. They've been had a lot of people to come in their lives and leave them and build them up and tear them down. They've had a whole lot of that in their life. They've been let
the
down
part,
a lot of times in their lives.
Hey, Joe, and
course,
the sad part would be they've been deflated and still beat you.
But
they ain't gonna beat it though. There's one thing I can agree with Joseph Gatewood tonight on. They ain't not gonna beat Central. We gonna make a statement.
I understand.
That's right.
Because only teams Deion Sanders have played of teams
in the SWAC.
Joseph, tell everybody what SWAC is. You've used that word so many times tonight.
It's an acronym for Southwestern Athletic Conference.
Okay, thank you. What in the world is SWAC?
What's MEAC?
MEAC.
What is MEAC,
Houston Athletic Conference. Mid-Eastern. What? Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference.
So these are conferences.
What's the
IAAA? Like we're in the 3A conference or something like that. These are like conferences in college.
Yeah.
What's the IAAA?
Let me tell you something right quick. There are only two Division I black conferences in the United States. There are only two. And
okay.
That's the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and that's the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. These are Division I AA conferences. They are the
okay.
only two that's in that classification in the United States.
Okay.
And they're also referred to as FCS schools. They are the only
okay.
two in the nation. And so what happens every year, the champion from the Southwestern Athletic Conference plays
okay.
the champion from the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference in a bowl called the Celebration Bowl.
Okay.
And for the last 6 years, that game has been played down in Atlanta. Jackson State is the champion of the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and North
Sweet.
Carolina Central is the champion from the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. And of course, both of these schools, both of these conferences, they have the option to go play in the FCS playoff that also consists of PWIs also. But
what's the PWI? Hold up. What's the PWI?
Those are predominantly white institutions.
All right. Okay.
So, but the SWAC and the MEAC, they have opted not to play in the playoffs, but to play in the Celebration Bowl because the Celebration Bowl is more lucrative.
Right. What lucrative? Yeah. What lucrative means?
There's
money.
More money
hey,
involved.
Man, wait.
All right.
There's more money involved.
Yeah. Could I recommend that this discussion be continued with, or you might have a show where you have people who are knowledgeable on both sides of this issue to discuss this. but I would hope we end on a note where we basically, you know, come down to where people understand where we're coming from about justice and love and unity and the need for black HBCUs to be supported regardless of how it's done. We may have a debate about the process, but we do need the fact. We need everyone to know that we are in favor of a better method in supporting HBCUs and taking them to the highest level possible. We need to try to get away from the state sponsored or the state involvement over the people or people's involvement, because the more the state continues to get itself involved into HBCUs, then the more you're going to see the process eliminating black people or who historically black folks. So I'm just saying whatever can be done, we just unite and say it needs to be done. And if there's some debate about the particulars, then we might just need to have a show about that.
Yeah, people definitely need to start supporting HBCUs. They definitely need to start supporting them because somebody posted on Facebook said the percentage of alumni that gives back at Jackson State was only 13%. But check this out, 13%. If 13% of Jackson State's alumni are giving back, that's the highest in the country among HBCUs.
Pretty good.
That's the highest in the country among HBCUs. Because HBCUs, I'm sorry, but as a group, we don't give back. We don't give back.
We don't give back. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brother Perret Radio Show. Mr. Ellis,
that's
Gaddy,
what we need
to
do something about.
Man, come back when you can spend some time, brother. We enjoyed your conversation. We'll be back
okay.
next Wednesday, same bat time, same gate channel, okay? We're out of here, man. It's over. I've enjoyed it. It's been beautiful.
Next Wednesday be 3 days before the Celebration Bowl. Go Eagles. Eagle pride. Yay!
How many days before the Celebration Bowl?
From today, we got the next be 14, no, 7, 8, 9, 10 days.
All right. We're out of here, man. God bless you.
Bye. On ABC
right.
at noon. The game will be
right.
ABC, on ABC at noon on the 17th.
All right, now.
North Carolina Central versus Jackson State University.